You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, don't miss all five Cleveland Browns players in action this Sunday at the 2014 NFL Pro Bowl. Tune in at 7 p.m. to NBC, and you're going to watch Joe Hayden, Alex Mack, Jordan Cameron, Joe Thomas, and Josh Gordon in Hawaii. Watch and tweet using hashtag Aloha Browns. Yeah, amazing to have those five Browns players in the Pro Bowl. We'll try to connect with them, by the way, by phone during the course of this week on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci, Jim Donovan with you. We've taken you through the conference championship games from a perspective of the Seattle Seahawks. Of course, they beat the 49ers to advance. The Denver Broncos early in the day knocking off the New England Patriots. Not much of a game in that one. Very disappointing, no. Jim. I was expecting a lot more and was left kind of flat, right?
Yeah, the Patriots never got going, Vic. You know, Friday afternoon, I had bought into the Patriots' charm, okay, and all week long. And I
charm?
Yeah.
Is that the word?
Yeah, you know that charm that
Bill Belichick charm,
exudes.
Yeah, sure.
You know that charm.
Sure.
Yeah. But anyway, I bought into it because of the Brady Manning matchup. I mean, I just thought it had everything on the table for it. But then Friday afternoon, I was sitting and I was saying to myself, how will the Patriots get off the field defensively? And I couldn't come up with an answer. And by golly, they couldn't get off the field defensively. But I thought early in the game, when Brady missed that pass to Edelman down the left sideline, when they ran that, you know, they showed a sweep right and he came back to the left and Edelman was wide open. At that point, I thought that was a huge play in the game because it could have been a touchdown, but it certainly was going to be a big play if Edelman caught it and went out of bounds. And then I think maybe they had a better chance after that of opening up their running game a little bit, which completely got shut down. But we've talked a lot about, you know, Adam Gase and what he did. But let me just say this. Jack Del Rio did a phenomenal job in getting that Denver defense ready because they shut that run down, you know, that had been so predominant and dominating in the week before in the game against Indianapolis. I mean, LeGarrette Blount had that huge game. He had nothing yesterday.
I agree, and that really was the key, is that I think that was an opponent where I thought would maybe they would have some success running the football, not nearly what they were able to do the week before against the Indianapolis Colts. I felt they would be able to run well against them. Of course, I wasn't predicting LeGarrette Blount to go off the way he did. Right. Who would, with four touchdowns, 160 rushing yards? But still, I thought that would give them the balance, and they definitely were seeking that against Denver and then got away from it pretty quickly. I thought in that game, quite honestly, the Broncos, Jack Del Rio, did such a superb coaching job against Josh McDaniels. I thought Josh got severely outcoached in that game because he and Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, were doing a lot with very little or with less than they had. And, yeah, maybe part of the discussion here is, look, it was going to finally run out. You can only run that two-minute mile, and then eventually you peter out. Eventually you just can't make the finish line.
Yeah.
But that said, Jack, maybe not enough praise could go to Del Rio for the job he did.
I don't think enough did, yeah.
Slamming the door. By the way, we want to hear from you. We're giving our thoughts on these games. We'll take yours as well. 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850 to join the conversation. But we mentioned, again, this game, this AFC Conference Championship game and some of the thoughts that came out of it. And obviously the story, the biggest story of stories for this 2014 NFL season is Peyton Manning and what this means to be able to now play a Super Bowl, how important it would be for him to win this Super Bowl. But he was asked about talking all the individual things that he has gone through. He talked about this with reporters after the game.
Well, for me personally, it's very gratifying. It's well documented what all I've been through. Our team has been through a lot, so it kind of fits hand in hand. We have just overcome obstacles. We have rallied, used the guys around us, and hey, it's really been a collective group effort that we talked about last week. And so, but it's nice when you put a lot of hard work into something where it pays dividends, where you can win an AFC championship and represent the AFC in the Super Bowl.
You know, Jim, I look at this opportunity for him. I mean, I fully thought it would be a case where Peyton Manning was going to advance, was going to get this chance to win the Super Bowl, but he has to win it. He can't go in there and once again fall short with a chance to win a championship, right. And his career is going to be defined, unfortunately, as the great regular season quarterback who cannot win the big one. There is going to be no dodging that if they lose this game.
Well, unfortunately, you're probably right, but I have to tell you, and I was definitely sitting in the car believing that he's got to be defined that way, but I more define him on what he did in the last 2 years, because that neck injury was really bad, and this guy completely sat out an entire season, and then in the most classy way, you know, bid farewell to an organization that realized it had to move away from him to exist and go get another young quarterback, which they did in Andrew Luck. And this guy reorganized his life. And, you know, he's like his own corporation, Vic. He moved that corporation out to Denver. He bought into that, and he took them, and he gave them everything that he did for Indianapolis and more in Denver. And it's just astounding what he's been able to do. But I get what you're saying now. You know, you're judged by how many big games you win. I mean, Bradshaw won them all with the Steelers. Brady won 3 with the Patriots and has stumbled a couple of times. His brother, Eli, has won a couple. But it just seems as though you've got a classic matchup going into this Super Bowl. You have that great defense against this great quarterback, and I think that's what you ask for when you go into a game like this. Here's the thing I wonder about, Vic, though, is, and Seattle will answer this very quickly, I think, in the game in the Super Bowl. Are they the same team outside that stadium? You know, because they are a monster in that place, and, you know, and good for them. I mean, they do exactly what you're supposed to do. You win at home and you dominate at home. Are they the same team when they go out to MetLife Stadium, even though it's a neutral site?
Wow. Yeah, I'm wondering about that myself. I mean,
they're great in that place.
They
are. I think they're good outside of that place, but you might have to be great in that game coming up a week from Sunday. You will have to be great.
Well, you'll have to be great. You can't allow the conditions to dictate how great or how good you are. You're right. I mean, they had an almost perfect day, did they not, yesterday in Denver? What was the temperature like?
It was 50. It was close to 60 degrees.
Close to 60 at kickoff. Yeah. And I got wondering about that, too, is that, you know, the fair weather element of Peyton Manning as a quarterback, did that, in fact, have something to do with the outcome? And somebody made a great point today. I want to say it was Jared Bell from USA Today, fine NFL writer for them. He was talking about, I think, the third snap of the game. And you recall that the ball kind of came funny to him from shotgun.
Yeah, it bounced up on his arm.
And he's it's like a hot potato for a minute, but he gets it, he regains control, spins it to the laces, and then gets off and makes a big throw. And then you wondered if this were, and Jarrett Bell wondered this, if that game had been in Foxborough in colder, windy, crappy conditions, is he able to make a recovery like that on a play?
Yeah. Now, remember, in those when he lost those AFC championship games as a Colt to the Patriots, those were off days weather-wise. You remember those? I mean, they were snowy, cold, you know, 6 o'clock starts out there in Foxborough, and the weather was off in those days.
Yeah, it really was. Hey, I think it's Kathy in Elyria is on the line with us right now.
Yeah.
It is. Hey,
yeah,
Kathy.
Kathy. It is Kathy. I have a question. First, a real quick statement. It's really a treat to hear Jimmy sitting in for Nate, although I miss him. And I sent a lot of prayers your way in the past, and it's great to have
you
on.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, they worked.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank God. Now, here's my question. If the Broncos don't win the Super Bowl, do you think, and if Peyton passes his physical, do you think Adam Gase would turn down a position that he may want just to stay and bring Peyton back next year to another Super Bowl?
Okay, Kathy, thank you. What do you think,
Jeff? That's the other side of what we were talking about at the top of it.
Yeah.
You know, if he wins the game a week from Sunday, you know, and he goes out on top if he goes out, if he wants to go out, he's had a very serious neck injury. You know, and maybe this is the way he rides off. But if he loses, does he come back? It seems as though he's the kind of guy that would want to come back. Now, his relationship with Adam Gase seems to be, you know, tremendous. I mean, he has the utmost respect for him. And this is a guy that had, you know, he had long-time coordinators in Indianapolis that that he just loved. Who was the guy, Vic, the older guy, Tom?
Tom Moore.
Tom Moore. I mean, he loved Tom Moore, right? He loved Caldwell.
He
got a lot of coaching from Caldwell.
Yes.
So, you know, I think that that's a very good point. I mean, you know, they seem very, very connected. I mean, in listening to what went on last week and how they prepared, how they emailed each other. This is Gase and Manning now I'm speaking about.
Right.
They emailed each other every night. They each drew up a new play every night. I mean, it was just fascinating to hear.
No, it is. And it's telling of... This is pretty unique now. When you're talking about, what are we talking about, Manning? 37?
He's 37.
Close to 30, almost 38. Yeah, he's 37 years old. And Adam Gase is 35. So they're contemporaries, yet Gase is in the position of obviously being that extra pair of eyes. And you say, well, what does Manning need? I mean, does he need someone else to dissect things that he can't see? Isn't he the ultimate surgeon when it comes to not only surgically taking apart a defense on the field, but watching film and studying ways he's going to do that? But he actually does. He's such a football head. Mm-hmm. He's such a film room rat, if you will, that everything that anyone sees and says, you know, did you consider looking at this game or this matchup to look at this coverage, to look at this situation? And Manning will say, oh, no, that's great. Let's jump into that. Because if it were up to Manning, I think he would spend 24/7 watching film. And I think much to the probably to the chagrin of his wife and his family. I don't think there's any life
and his
outside
opponents.
And certainly his opponents. But I know that to be the case because just talking with people I know very well in Indianapolis, it's so funny being here at the Senior Bowl. You never know who's going to walk by, and Romeo Crennel has just stepped by.
One of the greatest guys ever.
Can you pop on real quick with us? He's going to come on and just talk with us real quickly because I was watching him, of course, the East-West Shrine game that he just coached at. Just pop that on your headset there. You can leave your stuff right there. And he is okay, we got him on the headset here. How you doing?
Hey, I'm fine.
Romeo Crennel joins us. Jim Donovan is with me back in the
Romeo,
studio.
Hey, Romeo, how are you?
Hey, Jim, what's going on?
Romeo, I have to tell you, when I had the bone marrow transplant, I wanted to thank you so much. You gave me a call that cheered me up and lifted my spirits. I have to tell you, thank you so much.
Well, I'm glad you're doing fine.
I am doing great.
Yeah, that is wonderful.
Thank you, Romeo.
Romeo, you're doing great, too. We watched you, of course, coach in the East-West Shrine game. And Jim and I were talking about this earlier, the idea that NFL coaches get to work with players in these All-Star games. How beneficial is that to you then in, you know, the whole process of scouting and then selecting these players for your teams?
Well, you know what? I think it's probably better for a position coach to work the All-Star game rather than the head coach, because as a head coach, you end up talking to the group a lot, and it's tough to get to know the group with the limited amount of time that you have, whereas a position coach can get to know his position guys and get a lot closer. So as a head coach, you know, you might pick out a guy here or there that looks good, or he works hard in practice or something like that. But I think the position coaches have a better feel for the players overall. Now, I do talk to my position coaches and find out what they think about their guys, you know. But we had a good group of kids down there. They were attentive. They worked hard. And, you know, it was a competitive game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know. And so it was a good experience overall.
Hey, Romeo, when you – Vic and I were just talking about, you know, Peyton Manning – and how you get ready to play him. And, of course, you've played him many times, but you played him in those AFC championship games when you were with the Patriots and had great success against him. How difficult was it getting you and your team ready to play against him in those games?
Well, it's very difficult because Peyton is so good. At the line of scrimmage, he controls the line, controls the plays. He really does his homework on the defense. He knows if a guy's left foot is up, he knows what the guy's playing. You know, I mean, that's how thorough he is. And so that's one of the reasons he's really good, because he can recognize the defenses and get his offense in the best play. And you see him doing that quite a bit. And so defensively, you try to keep him off balance as best you can. And the other thing, like all quarterbacks, if you can get some pressure on the guy, you improve your chances, you know. But if you can't get pressure on him, generally he has a good day.
former Browns coach Romeo Crennel is joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We want to congratulate you, by the way. You were recently named the defensive coordinator of the Houston Texans. And Romeo, you've had the experience now. You were a head coach in Cleveland, a head coach in Kansas City, back to your defensive coordinator role, and you've done this multiple times in the league. But just give me a sense from a career standpoint. You know, a guy who has been at it as long as you have, who has enjoyed the success you have had throughout your career, some Super Bowls and so forth to go along with everything you've done. What the thoughts are now going with Coach Bill O'Brien now in Houston, and what your expectations are as you look forward to this opportunity?
Well, I think anytime you take a job, you expect to win and you expect to grow and develop a team to become winners. And that's why you take a job. I think they have talent in Houston. I think that probably they're better than their 2-14 record indicates. Yeah. You know, but after all my many years in the league, you know, Coach Parcells used to say, "You are what your record says you are." You know, and so we have some work to do. But I think Bill is putting together a good group of guys who are team oriented, and hopefully we'll be able to get him turned around.
Yeah, Romeo, you used to say that every Monday. I remember you used to say that after a game on Sunday. We are what our record is. Did you coach with Bill O'Brien? Did you know him in New England before you went off and came back here?
No, I had departed before Bill got there.
I see.
Yeah, and I think maybe twice when Bill was a quarterback coach, a coordinator, we played against them. And, you know, Tom Brady, that's another tough guy to play against also, you know. And so we gave them a little bit for a half or so, and then they hit their stride and were able to win the games.
What are your thoughts as you see the Super Bowl matchup now? The Seattle Seahawks, I would think a team after the heart of a guy like you as a defensive-oriented coach and a defensive coordinator, to see the way they play defense, and they led the league with 39 takeaways. But that matchup and the Bronco matchup, how do you see it shaping up here on February 2nd in New York?
Well, I think it's a tremendous matchup because we just talked about Peyton. Now, when you look at that Seattle defense, it looks like they got some guys that can rush. They got a big body presence in the middle. They are good outside on the wide receivers. So I think that combination might be able to press Peyton a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's the case, too. It's going to be something to watch and enjoy, I hope, for all of us. We wish you nothing but the very best in Houston. I do thank you for taking a few minutes. I know you're just here checking in, and I interrupted you, but you were so kind to come over, Romeo. You're the best, and we wish you, again, all great success going forward.
Well, Vic, it's always good to see you, and I couldn't pass it by.
Oh, that's great. Romeo Crennel, former Browns
Romeo.
Coach,
all right,
joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. In a little bit, we're going to have a discussion with Gerard Cherry.
Vic, do you remember there was a great Super Bowl scene? You were probably at that Super Bowl. I think it was down in Jacksonville when the Patriots beat the Eagles. And there was a great scene that Romeo was a part of.
Yes.
And it was Romeo was leaving to come to the Browns. Charlie Weiss was leaving to come to Notre Dame.
Yep.
And Bill Belichick. And they had a big three-way hug because, wow, what those guys had accomplished.
Yes, it was amazing because he was I just watched it the other day. I saw a documentary on the Patriots,
scene,
right?
Yeah.
It was a great scene. I want to say it was on NFL Network, and I think they were doing a documentary on the whole Tom Brady thing,
right,
or the Patriots run. And yes, the three of them, and it wasn't that they were hugging. Their heads were all like mashed together in the middle of this huddle.
Yeah,
Charlie Weiss.
They were absolutely at the top of the game.
Yes,
the top of the game.
And you heard Teddy Bruschi, who I think was one of the narrators of this special, saying, as far as we were concerned, we had three head coaches on that staff.
They did, yeah.
And they, you know, in Belichick and of course Rack and Charlie Weiss. And I think it was an amazing run. And this guy Romeo has been an amazing coach. And my only regret is I wanted him to have obviously so much more success than he ended up having with the Browns. But here's the great news: he's so talented as a coach. He gets these opportunities,
yes,
to now run. I mean, Bill O'Brien, this is a big hire that Houston made, right?
And it was like his first hire.
And it was just they right. That team like didn't hesitate. They had him tabbed for that job, you know, bango, and they went for it. And to bring him in to do the job that he's doing as a head coach there, and now to bring in a trusted guy like Crennel, they didn't even have working history together, but he knows how talented he is as a coach. All right, we're going to bring aboard Gerard Cherry, the third member of this show. He'll be joining us shortly here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, this Football Monday edition. I'm Vic Carucci down in Mobile, Alabama at the 2014 Senior Bowl. Jim Donovan is in Berea in the Dog Bowl. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.